Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is June 15th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So today, I'm going to do a deep dive on some 107 intel. I'm going to be talking a lot about hijacking consciousness, the transhuman agenda, the doomsday weapon of the enemy, and I'm going to be getting into some analysis of Jetson White's work as well. So hopefully you folks are up for it. I hope you're having a wonderful day and that your week is off to a good start amidst all of this craziness. So let's just dig right in here. So as folks know, I've been very focused on the work of Jetson White and his interpretation of the intel coming from 107, who everybody knows I've been analyzing for some time now. Now, depending on which insider you listen to or which podcaster or commentators you resonate with, you tend to get a different perspective on what's actually happening right now, and more specifically, where this is all headed. Now, last night, I had a really interesting discussion with Brad Olson, who really is of the opinion that there is some sort of a doomsday plan for the enemy that they are using or plan on using as their final card. And he happens to believe that it's very likely to be Project Bluebeam because of his knowledge of that technology. And of course, as he references Wernher von Braun on his deathbed, actually confessed that this was to be the final move that the cabal was going to make against humanity. Now, I've heard a lot of discussion about Project Bluebeam, and although my research has led me to believe that the White Hats have seized control of the satellites that they would need to project these holograms in order to pull off this fake alien invasion, I do still think it's a possibility that we have to take very seriously. However, my research and my journey has always centered around the Q drops, and more recently, the continuation or the rebranding of the Q project on the McAfee Telegram channel. And I did a show not too long ago discussing how 107, and using the metaphor of the Phoenix to describe how the enemy self-immolates in order to avoid detection, and of course, hold on to power, he actually implied, or didn't really imply, just came out and said that the McAfee channel is the continuation or the phoenix of the Q project. Now, we've seen multiple posts from McAfee in this account that is hinting at a sky event. And the team is telling us to look to the sky. That's a quote. And reminds us that we're not done. And then we have 107 telling us that it's going to be a blast when this event happens. And he, of course, is referencing, I believe, the 5D Megatron ion avalanche that will be enabled by Tesla's 369 technology, which Jetson White refers to as the rapture event. Now, we have seen some very strange footage over DC recently. I don't know if you folks have been paying as much attention to this as I have, but there have been some really strange appearances of light in certain areas over the DC swamp. Now, I've heard them characterized as portals being opened, which may be the case, but I've also heard others suggest, including Jetson, that these are UFOs, which seem to be performing a strange flight pattern around the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial. Now, you can watch Jetson's videos for some footage on that, and I highly recommend you do it, as well as his commentary in the background. Now, in addition to all this, we have Monkey Works, who has documented, and I've talked about this as well, the air traffic over the East Coast, and DC in particular, indicating that all of these C-130 transport planes suggest that there is a massive staging in preparation for an event of some kind. And if you go back and you watch his work starting in the beginning of April, you can see a pattern, which aligns itself very well with Jetson White's theory that the military actually moved into position in and around DC on April 11th. Now, April 11th is the date that's referenced multiple times in the Q drops. And it also happens to be very well aligned with the DOD Law of War Manual 11-4, which provides the legal framework for an occupying power to legitimately engage any belligerent force which has failed to comply with the international laws governing occupation in accordance with the Geneva Conventions as well. And specifically here, we're talking about the duty of this belligerent force to actually reveal to the people of the area being occupied who they actually are, who they actually work for, who they actually represent, which organizational body, if you will. And I've gone into a significant amount of detail on how all of this is laid out in the Department of Defense Law of War Manual, Chapter 11, Section 3. And we spent quite a bit of time talking about that. So to me, there is no question that the military is in position. And my belief at this point is less that they're waiting for people to wake up, and more that they're waiting for a specific lunar event or events to take place before the rest of all this plan can unfold. And as Jetson predicts, and I agree, the climactic moment of this epic struggle between good and evil will involve a doomsday event scenario, or as Juan puts it, a near-death experience, which is going to require not only Tesla technology, but far more importantly, the hand of God himself to save us. The question is, from what exactly? What attack plan could the enemy have in store for us that would require God to show his hand? Well, 107 has talked about a near-death experience, and I've been speculating along with many others as to what that could mean. And I initially thought that it would be millions dying from the jab or other bioweapon attacks, and then possibly the activation of MKUltra sleepers en masse to overwhelm society with false flag attacks like Gene Decode told us about. And we've been more recently discussing the food shortages, and some have even speculated that the enemy is going to attempt to starve us. And then, of course, there's the military action going on in Ukraine, which some fear could escalate and lead to thermonuclear war. Now, all of these scenarios represent, obviously, very real threats with which we're contending. But it wasn't until recently that I came across an interview that Juan did a while back. Not sure exactly when it was. Some people in the audience might be able to help me out on that. But he was discussing an entirely different angle, which I hadn't even been looking at. And the more I look into it, the more plausible it seems. Could the moon itself be a weapon? Is it storing something that the enemy plans to unleash on humanity at the right moment? And if so, what moment would that be? Well, recently Juan, who we all know uses metaphors and biblical parables to better provide an understanding, I guess you could say, of where we are, as well as hint at where we're headed. And recently he was talking about how the game of football was fundamentally changed when the NFL instituted the red flag rule, which of course is to review questionable calls. And he's characterized the enemy as trying to get to the line of scrimmage to get off another play before the coach, as represented by we the people, can throw the red flag to get an official review of how the vote went down. Now, in this game, if you want to play along with this parallel, obviously, the clock is ticking. We are in a race against time to somehow, some way, prevent the enemy from facing, well, I guess you could say they're in a race against time to prevent themselves from facing any justice for stealing the election and, of course, for so many other things. And honestly, folks, in my view, and I've talked about this before, if that doesn't happen, then there really is no 2024 or even 2022. Midterm election, if we don't find a way to present the truth to the people without the mainstream media propaganda obscuring people's perception of what went down that night. And that was a coup by foreign powers, which was allowed to happen, I truly believe, by the White Hats as a means of initiating the season that we find ourselves in right now. We know that the diamonds were stolen. And the way that it stands right now, is that according to federal election laws, and Juan breaks this all down, the data pertaining to the 2020 election must be preserved for 22 months after the election, which highlights, of course, a very important date, September 3rd. Now, Juan has stated unequivocally that the data will be destroyed. All the data is going to be dumped into incinerators at the stroke of midnight. And at that point, no legal avenue to challenge the results of the 2020 election is going to remain. Now, as we've been discussing devolution, and Q has told us, we have known all along that the military is the only solution. So while we can expect this drama to play out with the good guys trying to expose the crimes of the cabal in a civilian court, the reality is that the courts are a captured operation, along with pretty much every other institution in this matrix. So I don't expect to see any real justice emanating from a system that is corrupt and evil to the core. But what I think is that we are beginning to enter into the final stages of preparation for the climax of this pantomime that's been planned all along. And each side is getting ready to make their final moves. You've got the cabal readying their doomsday weapon, and then you've got the White Hats preparing for the technical element of the rapture event, during which God will not only deliver humanity from evil, but has also prepared an entirely new beginning for mankind. Now, before I encountered Jetson White's work, I had been envisioning this near-death experience that Juan talks about, like I said, through a very different lens than I'm beginning to now. Because I had been operating under the assumption that after the storm, as we refer to it, that humanity would begin a golden age, but it would be here on Earth. Which, of course, still may end up being true. But now I'm questioning that assumption more and more in light of what Jetson is saying in relation to Juan's intel, and obviously how it correlates with the Q drops and the McAfee posts, which really are one and the same. Could it be that the plan was never to have humanity remain here on Earth? Is our ascension not only spiritual, but physical, in the sense that we're going to be ascending to a new planet, a new home? And what would that look like? How would that be possible? Now, I've gone into detail in previous podcasts discussing Jetson's theory of the rapture event. But for the purposes of our discussion today, I'm not going to rehash all of it. You can go back and listen, and actually probably better idea is just go listen to Jetson's work, watch his videos yourself, do your own research. But for the purposes of our discussion today, suffice to say that this timeline flip that is alluded to by Q and McAfee several times in coded messages will be a sound-driven event using modernized, and you might even say militarized, Tesla technology. A 5D ion blast, which will sound like the trumpets of Revelation, is going to transform, according to this theory, a broad frequency range of humans into superconductors, at which point we will be capable of being levitated onto ascension support vehicles or spaceships and placed into light healing chambers to fully restore our DNA and in the process really lift the veil so that we can begin to finally understand the truth, the real true nature of our existence and our history and how we got here and where we're headed. So the fundamental belief here is that Earth, as a free will zone, became too infiltrated and corrupted with evil for humanity to ever really have a fair chance at ascension on our own. And collectively, our discernment, and again, not talking about the audience members, but collectively talking about humanity, our discernment has been far too compromised. And our genome, our DNA, far too degraded for us to ever really unify against our true enemy. And so in order to save the Adamic bloodline, which essentially is Israel, remember the Q drops say we're saving Israel for last. We are Israel. McAfee pointed that out. We're being saved for last. So in order to save the bloodline of humanity, the Adamic bloodline, God is preparing the rapture in our journey to the new west in the Sirius star system. And so Jetson's videos explain that those leaving Earth will be the ones who unknowingly chose evil over good. And unknowingly is the key word. And the reason for that, of course, like I just mentioned, is because their discernment has been stolen. Along with the good-hearted people out there who never devoted themselves to Christ and accepted him as their savior. Now, this represents the bulk of humanity at about 7 billion people. And the ones staying are the consciously evil, the wicked, and the saints and the 144,000 star seeds that are here to assist humanity in the Great Awakening and make sure that our ascension actually happens. The saints and the star seeds, according to Jetson, will perform a collective mission during the Great Tribulation. And that really is consistent with Scripture. And they'll be protected by God, or by the seal of God, until their mission is complete, and then most of them will be martyred. And then, of course, we all know the end of the story. Jesus Christ returns at the end of the Great Tribulation to gather up his saints dead and alive, and to destroy the evil ones along with this entire realm once and for all. Now, on some future shows, I may do a more detailed breakdown of how this rapture event will take place from a technological standpoint, or I should say, may take place. But essentially, what's been happening is that the White Hats have been using the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider at CERN, in order to pummel the atmosphere with ions in preparation for this rapture event. And I also do believe that they will be using pyramids in order to generate the torsion energy, which I'm going to talk about in some more detail in a moment, that's necessary to create this 5D sound blast, which will likely emanate from Mayotte Island. Folks will remember that that's the island where they ran their test that turned the sky blue back in 2018. But Jetson points out that the Giza complex, the pyramid complex, is actually a water magnetron microwave oscillator in which there are four torsion energy shafts and oscillators which generate ionized particles that are going to be used for the rapture event. And in his videos, he also discusses the celestial direction that the ascension support vehicles, the ASVs, will travel to get to the New West. So the first element of the rapture really involves, well, I should say the second element of the rapture involves Stargate travel. And for those who don't know, Stargates are twin stars that enable instant time travel to another realm, another system or dimension. So according to Jetson, the first jump will take place at Alnitak, which will propel us into the Orion system, and the second jump, Stargate jump, will take us into the Sirius star system, which will be humanity's new home. Now, the McAfee posts have been hinting at this scenario for quite some time now. On May 28th of this year, McAfee actually posted a picture of three green pyramids. And he's also posted pictures of Pleiadians, or the Pleiadian star system, the Sirius star system, the Orion star system. And it just so happens that all of these pictures are time-stamped at 1704. So if you drop the zero and you apply the principles of gematria, you drop the zero, that leaves you with 174. And if you multiply that by three, of course corresponding to the three pictures of the star systems that I just mentioned, you get a sum of 522. So like we typically do when we come up with these sums, we go back and we look at the Q post and we see what they say. So if you look at Q post 522, there's a direct reference to Tesla's 369 technology. And McAfee has also hinted at the revelation in other ways. I mean, on June 3rd, I think it was, he posted a picture of a woman with her feet resting on the moon, which is a direct reference to revelation in the scripture. So all of this really raises the question of what the enemy is up to. What are they planning on doing that is so horrific and so really irreversible that God has seen fit to destroy this realm and everything in it after removing his children and delivering us from the evil grip of an enemy that's hell-bent on our destruction. What is their plan, and how do they intend to carry it out? Well, during the course of my research of Jetson's work, I began to realize that there actually may be an answer to that question. In his video entitled The Rapture Event, A Divine Time Travel Operation, Jetson points out, he says, quote, God removed reptilian invaders from Earth's surface during Noah's flood, but not before they had polarized the system and lowered its frequency to better match their bodies. And then he then goes on to say, quote, they also set up a data bank inside the moon to store their consciousness, configuring a doomsday device that would be triggered by a future celestial event, end quote. And it's important for folks to remember that the Cabal uses the lunar calendar, and they plan all of their operations in accordance with celestial events for reasons that I'm going to discuss in a little bit. And then Jetson continues, he goes on to say, quote, that future is here, and the vessels they intend to use for their re-entry onto Earth are the transhuman bodies of those who have received the mRNA gene modifier, end quote. So it sounds to me like when the doomsday device is triggered, the nanotech in the jab will communicate or sync with the reptilian consciousness that has been stored in a very complex AI system located at the core of the moon. And the plan was to use these modified human vessels that they created with the jab by altering our DNA to then download their consciousness into these newly created avatars and hence become surface dwelling, usurping the dominion of Earth that God gave to man. The jabbed become transhuman, essentially reptilian creatures. And when this doomsday device is triggered, the theory is that they're going to be programmed to wipe out everyone violently, specifically those of the Adamic bloodline, which I just mentioned. Now, this may be an oversimplification of what Jetson lays out, but it is a basic overview of what this doomsday scenario might look like, according to his analysis. And, of course, I imagine that the 5G towers are going to facilitate this transfer of consciousness. But, again, this just raises more questions. How is this possible? When I saw this, I actually had to start thinking a little bit more about the nature of consciousness and how it could actually be stored and then weaponized against humanity at an appropriate time for the enemy. And as fate would have it, a listener of mine, some of you know him as Wingman from the Patriot Roundtables, he shared with me a series of interviews that Juan did a while back that I actually had not seen. And at this point in time, he was known as W. And he was on a program, I believe it was called Artificial Intelligence, or at least that's what the thumbnail of the video said. Now, again, some people out there in the audience may be more familiar with this platform that he went on and when this interview actually took place, but I did post this on my Telegram. And by the way, if you haven't followed me on Telegram, please take a moment to do so. There's a link in the description because I frequently post information. In fact, I do it all the time. I post information not only of interest, but also intel that directly correlates to the subjects that I'm going to discuss on my show. But honestly, folks, this was an absolutely brilliant interview. 107 at his best. And my understanding is that after he did this interview, he was never asked back on this show, which to me is always an indication that an individual is over the target. But this interview is absolutely fascinating, and it's extremely complex. I had to listen to it several times and take notes in preparation for this podcast. So what Juan gets into really is torsion physics and really the very nature of consciousness, which are two subjects that really are quite foreign to most people. In fact, I had to take, like I said, several pages of notes, and I had to listen to certain sections of this interview, certain segments, several times just to be able to wrap my brain around what he's actually talking about. But as I always say, Juan may be long-winded, but at the end of the day, his information is worth it. So I'm going to try to attempt to convey some of the intel to give folks a better understanding of where this doomsday scenario slash rapture event might be headed. So in this interview, Juan talks a lot about the Nephilim, who were the accursed generation of fallen angels who are trapped in our realm and are trying to reanimate their consciousness to escape death and to avoid God's judgment. And one of the most interesting things that I heard Juan talk about is how consciousness exists and resides outside of the body, outside of the physical body, which is contrary to what most believe. And furthermore, that it is the DNA which acts as a key code of sorts that enables our consciousness, which is external to our physical bodies, to interact with our DNA and essentially animate our bodies, which are like avatars. So if you can create a machine that accurately mimics the DNA, you can attach consciousness to it. You can have consciousness communicate with that DNA. And Juan points out, he says, quote, "Your body is like an avatar of your consciousness, which resides elsewhere," end quote. So the DNA is the key code of consciousness. And Juan explains that in terms of our history, we are living in a graveyard of prior highly evolved humanoid civilizations that destroyed themselves long before God created man, or Adam, I should say, and Eve, and that their consciousness remains in this realm because they preserved it somehow. And of course, this begs the question, how would their consciousness be preserved? How would it be stored? And how would it express itself? Or even more specifically, how could it be used as a weapon against humanity? Now, in the course of this discussion, Juan gets into a lot of detail about the third strand of DNA, which functions as a, quote, silvery thread antenna that can be hacked and that can take over or overwrite the way that DNA expresses itself and builds out, and hence the way that consciousness is downloaded into that DNA. However, the problem for the enemy plan is that while DNA can be manipulated electromagnetically, the signal from the moon, where apparently this evil consciousness is believed to be stored, is not very efficient. And therefore, the signal is very weak. In fact, it was discovered through space travel, really, that at certain times of the day, the signal was stronger, and that allowed for increased telepathic communication. And this, in turn, led to a deeper understanding of the relationship between lunar cycles and electromagnetic fields, and of course, the revelation that the enemy energy system is not based on Newtonian physics, but rather torsion physics. And this is a type of physics that is quite difficult to grasp, given that it's based on principles that are beyond the understanding of established Newtonian physics. But as Juan explains, there are certain times during which the torsion signal is clearer and more direct, like a laser. And so he poses the question, what if we're looking at nanomachines from a pre-existing time that are still here and intermingling with our human DNA as a part of the enemy plan to push this transhuman agenda? What if? But then, you also have to consider, because the signal strength that energizes this nanotechnology is only clear during certain celestial events, the actual date and time of the attack would need to be planned meticulously in accordance with these celestial events to amplify the torsion signal enough for it to be effective in overriding our consciousness with the consciousness of the enemy. Now, as a part of framing this conversation, Juan talks about the Nephilim as angels, or aliens, you might even say, who fell to this earth as punishment for rebelling against God. and had to rebuild and restructure the planet in order to survive because they're trapped here. But they fell to the Earth in possession of all of their advanced technology. They were hundreds of thousands of years ahead of where we are right now, which accounts for the incredible leap in civilization that's evident when you look back at ancient Sumer. However, because Earth was this technological scrap heap realm in comparison to the home that they came from, which has a completely different atmosphere and operated under different energetic principles, like I just talked about, torsion physics, they needed to modify everything that existed here in order to preserve their progeny, their bloodline, and their DNA into the future. So all of the technology and the knowledge that they brought with them would eventually be of no use to them once it needed to be replaced or repaired, because nothing on Earth at that point in time existed that was that technologically advanced. Now, he also points out that the ancient Nephilim were entirely male. The first ones who came here were entirely male. And so they had to use their genetic expertise to create hybrid creatures with beings essentially that were already here for the purposes of mating and preserving their bloodline. And so what did they do? Well, they did this with apes and perhaps other humanoids that were present on the planet at that time. But because this was an accursed, evil generation, God ended up wiping out all of their technology in the flood. But not before they were able to store their consciousness on a spacecraft that they had built, the very same object that we call the moon. So it's key to understand that the consciousness of these Nephilim, who are trapped in another dimension, is being stored inside the moon, and that they are attempting to reanimate themselves by downloading their consciousness into silicon-based, computer-operated transhuman life forms, which they've been using the bloodline families to create with nanotechnology over millennium now. So because the Nephilim are trapped in hell, they're trying to escape that trap by reanimating their consciousness into transhuman bodies, which means machine augmented, similar to what we see portrayed in The Matrix. They had the technology to store their consciousness and to project it and animate it into machines. And that's what they're trying to do with this transhuman agenda. Now, of course, we all understand that as humans, as men and women, we are the true inheritors of this realm, of this earth, of this planet. So they needed to reanimate in this realm through us because we're the ones who have the promise of life. But their quote-unquote lifeboat, the moon, that they've been gradually building up to escape this realm and to escape God's judgment, because that's what they believe. They believe if they can continue to reanimate themselves, that they can somehow transcend death and they can never face their own destruction. And as Juan explains, the ancients went to great lengths to preserve their bodies because to do so was to preserve the DNA. Because they understood that at a future time when technology had evolved, that they would be able to project their consciousness into a new avatar. Or perhaps even their own corpses using their DNA, as long as the key code, the DNA, was properly preserved. So this is what the transhuman agenda is really all about. It's about manipulating our genetic code so that they can overwrite our DNA and eventually usurp our consciousness with their own upon triggering this doomsday device on the moon. You see, they had nanotech. We're talking about thousands of years ago, folks. They had nanotech. They had robots of all sizes. They had artificial intelligence. They understood torsion energy. That at the subatomic level, that the energy density is, I think, a trillion times greater than it is at the matter level. And that, of course, gets into a discussion about dark matter, which I'm not going to get into today. But they use this knowledge of torsion physics to power all of their equipment. And again, they went to great lengths to preserve this knowledge through the bloodline families. And it was all in preparation for what we are living through right now. So it's absolutely key to understand that their world ran on torsion energy. And because in this world, no machines existed to maintain and emit and broadcast the torsion signal coherently, they had to use and incorporate into the minds of the hybrids that they created certain rituals and understandings of this torsion energy so that down the road, when all the technology had advanced up to where they needed it to be, it would be focused on these torsion moments, which would enable their machines to work better so that they could then carry out their plan to reanimate their consciousness into transhuman bodies by projecting it from a stored location on the moon and into the modified DNA of humanity. So hopefully you folks enjoyed this breakdown. I'm planning on continuing to provide more detail on all of this in my upcoming podcast and to explain where I believe all of this is headed. But certainly, folks, the climax is very near. It's a lot closer than many people think. But rest assured, the White Hats are in control, and more importantly, God wins. So trust the plan that where we go on, we go all. All right, folks, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. You can let me know in the comments. Please hit that like button if you did. Please make sure you subscribe to the different platforms I'm on. Again, I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. Please, if you haven't already, check out patriotunderground.shop and pick up an item or two to support my work financially. This really helps me out. You can also make a monthly pledge on Patreon. God bless to all those people who have supported me financially. It really does fuel my overall goal and my plan, which is to become a full-time podcaster and be able to dedicate all of my time and all of my energy to try and bring you folks the truth to the best of my ability. So thank you, everybody out there who has been so supportive. And just remember, folks, I've been talking about it a lot, and I'm going to continue to because it really is a big deal. PatriotSwitch.com. This is an incredible opportunity, and really it is, I believe, the responsibility of all of us patriots to spearhead these efforts to take market share away from the cabal and to begin to actually set the example for the rest of humanity and be conscious about where we spend our money, which is essentially our energy, our time, our passion, our lifeblood. We can no longer give it to the enemy and think that we're going to create this new world at the same time. Now, obviously, I've been talking about the possibility we could get raptured. There's a possibility of, I mean, folks, nobody really knows at the end of the day how all of this is going to turn out. We're living through history right now. But for the time being, right here on Earth, in this three-dimensional reality, we still have to contend with this evil system that is trying to rob us of our resources, and we have to fight back. So PatriotSwitch.com is an excellent opportunity to do that. Please check it out. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. God bless and Godspeed. I'll be back soon. Patriot out.